Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. Last week, I focused on the declaration, the holiday, the so-called holiday, and the Declaration of Independence and Interdependence, and the Native perspective. And I also mentioned slavery. So I wasn't planning to do a part two, but then I saw a little interview, transcript of an interview online with somebody I've followed for many, many years and read her articles, a wonderful website. Her name is Margaret Kimberly, and it's Black Agenda Report. That's my go-to website for, lack of a better phrase, the black news from a black perspective, and they are often chiding other blacks. I think the phrase is black misleadership. Glenn Ford, who was one of the editors, or the editor, he passed away maybe it was a year or so ago, and that was one of his phrases, the black misleadership. Loosely, I would say, comparable to the what are called corporate Indians, those who sell out to the system instead of staying in touch with their traditional ways. So it's a good site, Black Agenda Report. And in this interview, she's interviewed by Ann Garrison. So again, it makes me think about what is it that people think they're celebrating when it comes to July 4th. So the idea is that it's independence and that things are better now. That's my interpretation of having talked to some people. It's like independence from the tyrant king and opportunity for this and that and that. So some of these quotes in here debunk that. But it starts off referring to George Washington, the whole myth of that his teeth were wooden, and it actually says she says they were made of ivory and metal, but there was also at the time tooth transplantation. And some of the dentures were actual teeth that were taken from enslaved people that he held. She's talking about her book. And I opened with this because I think it's important for people to understand the brutality of slavery. I mean, tooth extraction is painful now with anesthesia, with modern medicine. So that was just torture. There's no other way to describe what it had to mean at the time. I thought it was important for readers to understand what Washington demanded and the system of slavery, which he was very much a part of. So that's at the beginning of the article, the hypocrisy which allowed those who said all men are created equal to be slaveholders. So again, I say, what is it that is being celebrated? And the dodgy forefather, George Washington, and Pennsylvania had a law which said that any enslaved person who was in Pennsylvania for more than 6 months could petition for their freedom. And this created a problem for George Washington because that meant the people he held could potentially be freed. So he never allowed any of them to be in Philadelphia for that six-month period, which was a violation of the spirit and letter of that law, because the authors of the law had realized that such a loophole would allow people to do what Washington did. And so this rotating people in and out was forbidden in that statute. Washington consciously and deliberately broke that law. Ah, that's like the first time I've heard loophole. I always thought of that as a modern legalese phrase. Well, there's a loophole, but obviously that goes back to the founding of the country. And then the interview mentions it's called the Louisiana Purchase, but of course, from the Native perspective, I would say that's the Louisiana Theft, whatever they actually called it, instead of Louisiana, named after King Louis. And that was actually, the purchase was actually because France needed the money. Those territories came into the U.S. after the Haitian Revolution and France's loss of Haiti. Losing this very profitable French territory meant that France needed money, and so they chose to sell their territories on the North American continent to the United States. There, in quote, because they were stolen. So it was stolen territories that then were sold. These territories came into America's possession when Jefferson was president. He had a lot of power over what happened to them. But he was also a slaveholder, and though he would claim he thought slavery was evil, that it was wrong, he never freed one person, not even one. And the interview goes on. These new territories instead allowed the U.S. to expand slavery, and this just goes to show how much of a hypocrite he was. This was the continuation of the settler colonial project, the ethnic cleansing of the indigenous population, stealing their lands, and spreading slavery as far and wide as they possibly could. So those two are intertwined, indigenous and the black slavery there. And then it also talks about Jefferson had children, which were, you know, because he slept with the slave and he had children, but he didn't even free his own children. And here's what I found the most enlightening historically, because, okay, like I mentioned in the last episode, like I get the sense of people wanting, you know, they grow up with an identity of America, the U.S., so there's a sense of, you know, team spirit and for where they are, you know, and celebrating the supposed independence. But that seems to be always based on having escaped from the bad dude despotic king. So that's why I found this particularly interesting here. Well, on the 4th of... This is Margaret Kimberly. Well, on the 4th of July holiday, I think it's important to understand why they declared independence from Britain. They were concerned that the British might end slavery. They were also concerned that the British were impeding their efforts to further settle west beyond the eastern seaboard. But Britain had a problem with France. There had been the Seven Years' War from 1756 to 1863. Which was called here the French and Indian War because it was the British against the French and their indigenous allies. Just to be clear, Britain and France were both trying to steal Indian land. But in any case, after that war ended, Britain wanted to make peace and forbade settlements west of the Appalachians, which inconvenienced people like George Washington, who had already purchased land past the Appalachians. So I don't know whether that was the king himself, but there's the highlight. I'll read that again. Britain wanted to make peace and forbade settlements west of the Appalachians, which inconvenienced people like George Washington, who had already purchased land past the Appalachians. So, in effect, the celebration of getting away from Britain is also celebrating getting away from making peace and celebrating more taking of native lands. That's my interpretation. If you read the history and connect those dots, other people might have other interpretations about what those words means and how it gets, you know, translated. But that's how I translate it to prove what I think is the point. So that was in 1763, and it was one of the biggest reasons that there's a 4th of July holiday all. They wanted the entire continent. They did not want Britain to stand in their way. They had other arrangements with France, which allowed them to claim territories and what's now the U.S. Midwest. And in order to complete and really fulfill the settler colonial project, they had to have an independent nation that was free from the British crown. I'll repeat that one. They had to have an independent nation that was free from the British crown. And she ends the interview with, I think it's important to have that information and understand why there was an independence movement at all. So there again, to me, is the boffo mistranslation and misconstruation, if that's not a word, I just made it a word, the misconstruation of this independence being all positive thing. So the analogy that comes to mind is like, If someone is, I'm buying something and someone is ripping me off and I break free from that person, but then I go and start selling something to someone and ripping them off. So is that independence? It's like breaking free from a domination to then dominate. Maybe that's a clearer way, that breaking free from being dominated to then being the dominator. I'm sure there's some kind of psychological explanation for that. And I'll leave it with one more bit that came to mind, having heard of this over the years with the in the Constitution. Found this online. Contrary to popular belief, the 13th Amendment did not abolish slavery. The first section states, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Which is why some states, such as Texas, Florida, and Georgia, do not pay prisoners for their labor, with limited exceptions. Most prisoners have no choice but to work, are paid low wages for doing so, and can be disciplined for refusing. They are slaves of the state, literally, by the plain language of the 13th Amendment, end quote. So those are reports I have heard about for many years of, and a lot of corporations and phone companies, when you sometimes, you know, making products, or you call up to talk to someone, you might be talking to a U.S. prisoner who is working for whatever corporation and getting, and not even getting paid well, like getting pennies or whatever they get, at least for their work. Under the quote jurisdiction of being a prisoner, you can say, well, it's a prisoner. It's also a human being, and they're doing work. Maybe they're rehabilitating, so they deserve to, you know, to work and be fairly paid. And then, as that article, as that quote states, is in effect slaves of the state. So these seem to be ways that the fine print and the subtleties of the system and the loopholes seem to perpetuate these ongoing things, which in some ways there may be some improvements, but in other ways, like nothing has changed over the 246 whatever years. And that's the sneakiness of the system, in my opinion, and why these are the kind of things that need discussed, not just at the barbecue, but wherever. So, thank you again for listening. Be well. Have a good one.